Well, good morning. It's great for you to join us this morning. I think it's great that you have clicked on or found us here at London Road Baptist Church. And if you're a member of our church, it's really good to see you. If you've just stumbled on us, it's equally good. You are welcome with us this morning as we do a film of this morning service on our premises at London Road Baptist Church. And these premises that I'm studying now are being refurbished, so just forgive if you're getting camera shot, a little bit of a mess. But we're completely refurbishing our sanctuary, and we've got builders in and members of our own wonderful congregation doing construction work. Last week, as you know, we met in the garden, and that was a really good time. We had about over 100 people, and we were able to socially distance ourselves in legislative requirement and have an outside service. And we're hopefully going to do that again before we all gather again in this building. Well, who's with me this morning? It's really fantastic. We've got Fox with us again, and he will be editing the service and getting it out to you shortly. We've got Mark on the sound desk. We've got Martin doing the overheads. And this morning we've got two of our wonderful friends in the congregation. We've got Craig and Fleur, and they're bringing our prayers and our reading and our lockdown thought during the service. And we've got Roy, and Roy just acts on security here so we're not disturbed during the recording. And John's on the camera. So welcome to London Road Baptist Church. I just want to read to you from Deuteronomy to set the scene for this morning's service. Deuteronomy, and that's in the Old Testament, chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. And the writer of this reminds us of the authority of God. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. And what the writer wants to do in those few words is just remind you that God is in control. He's in control of everything we will ever see, know, or understand. And yet this mighty God, the reading continues, yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. And then he says these words, and I'll contextualize them. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. And what the writer in the Old Testament is saying, that circumcision was practiced on all the male children, but it was a ritual. And he's saying, look, there's no point in having rituals on your body if your heart isn't changed. And so he's saying, look, make your heart pure. Just come to me in a genuine way. Don't be distant, don't be stiff-necked any longer. And then the reading finishes like this: for the Lord your God is a God of gods, a Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. And I love the ending of this verse when it says, who shows no partiality. That means he loves me as much as he loves you. He has no favorites, he only has his children. And then it finishes by saying, and accepts no bribes. And that's sort of an Old Testament connotation to grace, that you can't get to know this God by favor. You can only get to know him by grace. This King of Kings and this Lord of Lords. And we're going to sing about this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords and give thanks to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in these two familiar opening songs of worship.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty, I can but bow, I lay love eternal, faithful and true, who bore the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, Your Majesty. I can but bow. I lay my all before You now. In royal robes that I don't deserve, I live to serve Your Majesty.
He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done.
Let's pray together. And so, Lord, we've sang about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we've given thanks in song. And now we just want to say, King of Kings, Majesty, the God of Heaven, thank you for living in each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that as the King of Kings, you're still gentle and you're close. You're a strong deliverer. And so thank you, Lord, for the apparent paradox that you're so mighty and so fantastic, yet you're so intimate and so special and personal to each and every one of us. And thank you, Lord, that you want to share your specialness with us and bless us and make us special in our service of you. And so thank you, Lord, that we wear royal robes, and that when you look upon us, you look upon us as ambassadors and your children. So as earth and heaven worship you, Lord, help us to personally worship you. Because each and every one of you, Lord, we give thanks to you with a grateful heart. And we recognize, although you're holy, you came to earth as Jesus. And so because of all that Jesus did, thank you that those of us who are weak can know your strength. Those of us who are poor can know your prosperity. So thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, it's really fantastic this morning. We've got two of our special friends. We've got Craig and Fleur, and they're going to come and bring some thoughts and prayers and our reading this morning.
Morning. I'd like to talk to you about life in lockdown for me, what it's meant to me. As COVID hit for the first time, it seemed strange, closing the school, not knowing when we would return. Seeing our country in Europe be overwhelmed by a pandemic seemed frightening. I found working from home difficult, as IT is not my favourite thing. But with lots of help from my family, I became more confident. I made the most of the nice weather by going for walks, swimming in the sea, caught up with family and church family, and I enjoyed having more time for my family and sharing meals together. The second lockdown was more of a challenge, not being able to see family and friends, and the weather didn't help. But speaking to God more helped me through this when I was feeling negative. It has taught me to count my blessings and to be thankful for where we live and being supported by family and my faith I have.
We'd just like to come together in prayer. Dear Lord, you are a great God who can do wondrous things and perform miracles. I'd like to pray for the world at this time. I pray for the people of St. Vincent, evacuating their homes due to the volcano. Keep them safe, Lord, and comfort them. We pray for the people of Ethiopia, as 2 million people have left their homes due to the conflict in Tigray. Help them during this time. We also pray for the people of Myanmar and the atrocities committed by the military on ethnic minorities. May that country return to peace. We pray for Syria and the healing the physical and mental scars endured by its people over a number of years. We pray for the pandemic and the vaccination program and the many lives affected by it. We pray for peace on the streets to return in Northern Ireland. We pray for our own country and the many families reaching out to pay bills and recover from physical and mental health. We pray for the royal family for this time, for the loss of Prince Philip. We'd also like to pray for members of our church family. Vi Cropley, recovering from a hip replacement operation. Irene and Rick Hughes. Malcolm and Yvonne Cherry. Thora and Gilly Sterry. Malcolm, Phyllis and the family. Liz Reed and other members within our fellowship. Dear Lord, be with their needs. We thank you for our church and leadership team. Help them discern in their future decisions on taking our church forward, and for the outreach projects within our town. We thank you for being with us during our darkness and the light. Amen. The reading this morning is from John 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." We'll now watch a short clip before Neil comes to bring our word.
After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Well, here we are again looking at prayer, which is a major theme we're looking at here in the life of London Road Baptist Church. And just before Easter, we were looking at things like the Lord Prayer and different aspects of prayer. We had a little break last week to think about the importance of the events of Easter and in the garden. I've got a real treat for you this morning and over the next 3 weeks. We're in John's Gospel. The Gospel stories in the New Testament, there's four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you want a little bit of technicality, I call the Synoptic Gospels. The word synoptic is a Greek word that means similar. So when you read in Mark's Gospel, when you read in Luke's Gospel, and you read in Matthew's Gospel, you get this story of Jesus written in a familiar way. John's Gospel is different. It's written with deep theological truths, and it's a completely different style of writing. And so although you get the basic story of Jesus, you get no birth narratives in John's Gospel, you get these big theological statements. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And all the way through John's Gospel, you get deep theology rather than an observation and a record of really how Jesus acted, although that's in there as well. Now, in the Synoptic Gospels, again, I'm reminding you, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When we get to Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, you get that prayer that I unpacked last week, "Your will be done, Lord, not mine." In John's Gospel, we get a real treat because we get in depth more of Jesus's personal prayer life. And so I've called this series Listening In on Jesus's Prayers. Let's just move on, Martin, please. And so in this little section in John's Gospel, first of all, Jesus prays for himself. He's just about to go onto the cross. It wasn't something he was looking forward for, but it was something that was necessary. He was fearful, but he knew that the whole answer and the whole reason that he came to earth was to die for you and me. Move, please, on. And so John's more detailed account of Jesus' prayer is overheard by the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Thursday night before his execution by crucifixion on Good Friday. And so this little reading that Craig read to us so well begins after Jesus said this, Jesus had just been explaining to his disciples in a little while he'd be going away and they wouldn't see him and then he'd return. And they were very confused about all that because they still didn't understand that there Jesus was going to die and then be raised from the dead. They've been told many, many times, and it's really just getting to the point now where they're beginning to understand it. And that's where we are. Move on, please, Martin. And so first of all, in this section, in John 17, we get Jesus praying for himself, what we're going to look at this morning. We've got the fact that then Jesus prays for his disciples, and we're going to be looking at that next week. And then in 2 weeks' time, we'll look at Jesus prays for all believers. And in this prayer, Jesus prays for the future for people like you and me. So let's just move on. So first of all, Jesus prays for himself. Now, do not underestimate this. We just read the scriptures and sometimes we take them for granted. But you're going to listen in today. You're going to have the privilege of being able to listen to God's own thoughts. God shares his thoughts because in this prayer, God the Son, we're Trinitarian. And this is a conversation beyond our human understanding of God the Son talking to God the Father. And if you want to understand what God is like, then learn and understand John 17. You're listening in to the very thoughts, the very nature, the very character, the very prayer life of God. God himself prays, and you're listening to God the Son talking to God the Father. You cannot get any more richness of the revelation of God than here we are in John 17, verses 1 to 5. And five times in this short prayer, we get glory mentioned. And the Hebrew word, which is used for glory in the Old Testament, has this simple meaning of heaviness or weight. And it's used in everyday speech of Jesus' time to express the worth of a person in the material sense, and then to express the idea of importance, of greatness, of honor, of splendor, and of power, so on and so on. And five times in this short prayer, we get this word glory. And so let's look at the beginning of the prayer, Martin. So after Jesus said this, I told you what he said. He'd just been talking to the disciples about the fact that he would be leaving them and he would no longer be physically present with them. And then it says he looked towards heaven and prayed. That's a small introduction to the way in which people prayed, particularly rabbis and Pharisees. When they used to pray, that they thought God was sort of in heaven, detached from the earth. Remember, God came to earth, but there was a feeling in the day that earth was not the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle maybe, but the earth was corrupt. And so people would pray and look in a direction to where they perceived heaven was. You get this earlier on in John's Gospel. Do you remember it says the Pharisee and the tax collector, they went to the temple to pray, and it says that the Pharisee beats his chest and says, "Thank you, Lord, looking up to heaven, I'm not like him." But it says the tax collector couldn't look up and was looking downcast and was asking for forgiveness. So we just read looking up to heaven, and you get that all through the Old Testament. When you look at the prayer life of Daniel and you look at the prayer life of other great people, they look towards heaven. And then he says these words. He looked towards heaven and he said, "Father." Abba, Father. It's intimate. "Father, the hour has come." I just want us to think about that word there. The hour has come, or the time has come, is a theme throughout John's Gospel. Right at the beginning of John's Gospel, do you remember Jesus' first miracle was at the wedding at Cana when he changed the water into wine? He was about 30 years of age. His father had died because Jesus is the head guest, as the head, the eldest son of Mary, and they run out of wine. And so Mary says to her son, can you sort this problem out? And he turns round to his mother. He says, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time, my hour has not come. And so this situation we find ourselves in John 17 is not a mistake or an accident. Jesus is not a victim of the betrayal of Judas. He is not a victim of circumstance. And John wants to say that the whole of the created order, the whole of the Jesus story, the whole of Jesus and God coming to earth was preordained and planned in advance by God. Now, some of the cults and some of the religions would see the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they sort of nearly see this as an accident. This was not an accident. God came to earth on purpose to save you and to save me because he loved me. Jesus is not a victim of circumstance. That's why later on we're reading the Gospels and Jesus says, do you not know I could bring legions of angels in to protect me? Peter, put away your sword in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, Peter tried to defend Jesus, so he pulls out a sword and Jesus says, you don't understand it, Peter. I could call on heaven and bring legions of angels down to protect me. He voluntarily went to the cross. The hour has come. And then he goes on, he says, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. Let's go right back to the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, John calls it in the Greek, the Logos, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Familiar words, we read them at Christmas. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And to the Greeks of the day, this would be crazy, because flesh is seen as contaminated. You escape the flesh. That's why you get all the mix up in the Roman Catholic Church on the virginity of Mary or celibacy of priests, because somehow flesh and sexuality are dirty and spirit is higher. But this God became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. The Greek word for dwelling in John's Gospel is tabernacle. He tabernacled amongst us. He came and brought temporary residence. But then it says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John is marrying here. John 17 parallels with the great verses that we read at Christmas in John's Gospel chapter 1. And this glory theme, this eternal logos, logos is the Greek word for word, this eternal word, the immortal word, the word that has always been, the living word, is central to understanding John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Trinitarian teaching right in the beginning. So this is a Trinitarian conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. How is this Son going to be glorified? I'll talk about this in a minute. He's going to be glorified on the cross. The rest of the world and the rest of society saw the cross as a shame, as a great mistake. The idiosyncrasy, the paradox of God. God chose to shame himself for you and me, so we will not be shamed, that your Son may glorify you. Hallowed be your name, Father. As we think about prayer, we always pray to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. So let's just go on to the next one. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. All authority is in Jesus' name. That's why we preach in Jesus' name. That's why we prophesy in Jesus' name. That's why we declare Jesus' name when we lay hands on people for healing. There is authority in the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that demons flee. It is in the name of Jesus that people are healed. Do not be embarrassed about the name of Jesus. I tire and tire and tire. I know I'm getting on my political hobby horse now, but I tire of churches that say we serve the community. We serve Jesus. And it's time we began to become familiar again with the word and the name and the power of Jesus. Yes, we go out into the community in Jesus' name, but our starting point is Jesus and our ending point is Jesus, because in him there is all authority. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now here's a technical term, predestination. And the churches always get mixed up. Predestination means that you was predestined to become a Christian. But in one sense, this God is out of time. He's the eternal Logos, the eternal Word. He was there in the beginning and he was there in the end. And so he, because he knows everything, he's omniscient, he knows everything. He knew in advance how you and I would respond. So predestination is not like fatalism for those who haven't been predestined. It's the knowledge of God, knowing before you heard of Jesus how you would respond, not programmed to respond. You can have predestination and free will. God predestined, he understood how you would respond. We don't know how people will understand to the gospel. That's why we're sent out to the whole world. Our mission is to go to the whole world and tell people about Jesus. And that may predestine some to know him. This is deep theology in here. But it is him who gives eternal life. And so it goes on, Martin. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So in other words, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, all coming together here in this short prayer. This is eternal life, that they know you. Also in John's Gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. No other way. You cannot know God any other way than through Jesus. You cannot know God through any other religion, any other activity. There is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. I love the theological writer who says, there are many ways to Jesus, but there is only one way to God. And this morning I've got Fox, I've got John, I've got Flay, I've got Craig, I've got Martin, I've got Mark, and I've got Roy. And if I had to say to all of them, tell me about how you found Jesus, you would have many, many stories of how they became Christians. But each of us would have a commonality. We found God the Father through Jesus. There are many ways to Jesus, but there is only one way to God. And this is in this prayer at the climax of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The only true God whom you have sent, for God so loved that he sent. Next one. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave to me. It's nearly prophetic. And what he is saying, he's looking 2 or 3 days in future. I have brought you glory. Remember, we learned the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. All the way through his ministry, he honored God the Father. Your kingdom come on earth. But by finishing is the cross. The work that Jesus was given, God the Son, given by God the Father, bringing to completion, was the cross. And in the day it was seen as a shameful thing, but it was a glorious thing. And so it finishes now, the prayer. Martin, the next one. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Full circle. That Jesus was in heaven, glorified with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He's going to go back to heaven. Let me just remind you now of John 1, 1 to 3, the opening of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And so the incarnate God comes to earth. He lives an obscure life for 30 years. And then he does 3 years ministry. And he dies on a cross for you and me. And then he returns to heaven. And now he's God incarnate. That is what John is saying. God came to earth to die for you and me. And that was his purpose. And that was how he is glorified. And if you don't think that God loves you, in this private prayer, you begin to understand that the glorification of God, and this is beyond our understanding, is on a cross when he died for people like you and me. And so this God became incarnate. That's a theological word. It means God becoming flesh. He became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. The hour came and he died for you and me, and then he becomes fully divine again after the transfiguration when he ascends back to his Father's side. Full circle in John's Gospel. The theology in this short prayer of 5 verses is absolutely huge. So do meditate on it, do look at it, because you have had the privilege, and I have had the privilege, of listening to an intimate prayer of God speaking to himself. God the Son praying to God the Father. And the great thing is that after Pentecost, God the Spirit is given to you and me. And so we pray in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to God the Father. And it is so rich, the understanding of prayer in the Scriptures. I hope you've got something out of this morning's message. But to help you get a little bit more, just reflect now on this song that's about to start, because it picks up some of the theme that I've spoken about this morning.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful
I just hope you reflected then on the wonderful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And so as we draw to a close, as I always say, if there's any way in which we can help you in this church, do contact us through the web link. If you want a socially distanced coffee, particularly as we're coming out of lockdown, myself or members of our wonderful staff here would meet with you. If you want prayer this morning and you are a regular member of this church, then Bill and I are available for prayer. And so I want to say goodbye and goodbye on behalf of the team here till next week. So it's goodbye from Fox and Mark and Martin, and it's goodbye from Fleur and Craig, John and Roy and myself. And I just want to close with this wonderful new song by Charity Gale, Thank You Jesus for the Blood. And it's a live recording of a wonderful song full of rich theology. So it's been great being with you this morning. I hope you've got something out, and it'll be fantastic to see you next week. Bye.
I was rich, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, now.
Applied. Glory.